Well, I thought instead of doing our usual Bible study today, I might like to talk to you for a few minutes this evening about heaven, since that is appropriate in light of our little memorial remarks. And I wanted to take your attention to the Song of Solomon, believe it or not, for a discussion on heaven. And it's because, as you know, Song of Solomon is a romance, and the Book of Solomon's Song is about the love of the groom and the bride, their courtship, their marriage. And for the bride, it's about coming into the marriage and enjoying the bridegroom in a very special way, a whole new chapter of her life. And what's really great, you know, people have always said that the Song of Solomon must surely be about Christ and the church, because it's so sensual that we can't imagine why it should even be in the Bible otherwise. But we think that the Song of Solomon is actually a marriage manual in the first place. But since, according to Ephesians 5, everything we do in marriage is really a shadow of what Christ is doing with his bride. So it's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So marriage is just a picture of what the Lord has in mind, and that must mean that there's a layer of meaning in Song of Solomon for what it's like for us to be with Christ in heaven. So I want to show you some of the great stuff that Song of Solomon teaches us about heaven. And of course, everything that I'm going to mention to you not only occurs in the Song of Solomon, but also in other places in Scripture that talk about our eternal state. So we know that we're not completely off the wall here, because we have chapter and verse scriptures throughout the New Testament to talk about the same thing. Okay, so you have to start in chapter 2 of Song of Solomon, verse 4. This is a little song as well that most of us sang when we were kids about the Lord's banner over us being love. So chapter 2, verse 4 has the bride saying, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Steady me, stay me with flagons," we would say bottles, "comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love." That's really interesting, because we are talking about a banqueting house and the romance of the bride and the groom. And of course, that's sort of where it all begins for us, because we're told that there is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we expect that that will take place shortly after the rapture of the church. And so it all begins with a banquet. And in this story, she says, "He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. So steady me, I am sick of love. I'm lovesick." And of course, that's the romance of the gospel. And when we go to heaven, that's going to be an outstanding impression, that we are sick of love. So the song that we hear oftentimes on the radio, and sometimes even sing around here for special music selections, that sort of thing, is, "What will it be? I can only imagine when I stand before the Lord. What will it be? Will I dance because David danced? Or will I fall on my face?" Because in the book of Revelation, they fell on their faces. So which will it be? What will happen? Will I sing hallelujah? Or will I be unable to say anything at all? Which will it be? And I think in heaven it's going to be all of that, right? I mean, because that's what we learn in Scripture. It is all of that at various times with various waves of different emotions. Sometimes exhilarating in the sense of we're so thrilled we can't sit still. And sometimes awe-inspiring to the place where we don't want to disturb anything, you know, hold still and take it in. It will be both. There is a time, as the book of Ecclesiastes would say, a time to dance and a time when that would really be inappropriate, right? There will be a time to sing and there will be a time to be quiet. And all of that's going to happen. But the emotion of this, she says in this, "I went to the banquet and I was sick." I was sick from love. And that's quite a thing. So I think, you know, what is it like for our loved ones who go on before us? Well, it's a little bit like being sick from love. I am so excited and I am so in love that I actually have a stomach ache. That's what we're talking about. I am sick of love. Somebody steady me because I'm just so excited. My emotions are so jumbled right now that I actually feel a little queasy. And that is the heavenly state. That's why it is not a disappointment for us to go to heaven. It's great. All right, so you have the romance of the gospel, which is so powerful. And by the way, remember how the Apostle Paul describes all this stuff, right? He wishes in his Ephesians 3 prayer that we would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. I wish you knew the love of Christ, but of course you can't because it's too much for you. It passes knowledge. So, but I still wish you knew it, but you can't because it passes knowledge. That's what we're talking about. The romance of the gospel, which is so strong that it actually makes a person sick. That's the love of Christ that passes knowledge. We can't process it. And so we have just the feeling of heaven. What is the feeling of heaven? That's the feeling. I am sick of love. Everybody steady me because I could faint dead away. That's what we're talking about. Well, the problem is, and there's not a great problem here, we have the emotional things that are so wonderful to think about, but we human beings have been given minds. We've been given intelligence. For whatever reason, the Lord thought that it would be a wonderful thing for us to have creative minds, minds that love to explore. This is the fundamental difference, I suppose, between the animals and their ways of thinking and us who have keen intelligence. An animal can be intelligent. Did you see on YouTube the elephant that drew a picture of himself? That is the most amazing animal trick in the whole world. He literally painted an elephant, and it's better than I could paint. So animals have intelligence, but you never hear about an animal wanting to create a hospital for children who have been burned. It never occurs to them to do that. You never hear about an animal greatly desiring to peer into a telescope to see the valleys on the moon. They never seem to want to do that. But you do. There's something about you. You want to pick up an instrument and make music come out of it. You want to look in a telescope. You want to look in a microscope. You want to go. There's something you want to see. What do you want to see? I'd like to see Italy. I would like to see Boston in the fall. Why do you want to do that? The Lord put within you intelligence, curiosity. And that's why I love this. So you look at chapter 2 again, this time verse 10. And we see that the Lord has evidently field trips in mind for you and me when we are with him in glory. So in verse 10, my beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, the vines, the tender grape, give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. This is a picnic. This is an outing. And we have a lot of reason to think that the Lord is going to be doing this for us in heaven. We have this intelligence that the Lord has gifted us with, and evidently he has outings in mind. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Let's go on an outing. I want to show you something. And we don't know exactly how this is going to go, but we've been curious for so long here on planet Earth about what's out there. And so we're always talking about looking in the telescope and seeing what's out there. We wish we could go there. We get the maps out for a vacation. Where will we go? We hear that there's this Grand Canyon in Arizona. Let's have a look at that. We hear that there is this national forest with giant redwood trees. Let's go look at that. We hear that there's this waterfall in New York. Let's go have a look at that. We understand that there are these badlands. Let's go look in Rocky Mountains and the Pacific Ocean. Let's go have a look at that. We always want to see. And the Lord evidently put that in our hearts. And then we always wonder again, I wonder why there needs to be a new heaven and a new earth. Why a new heaven? We haven't hardly explored the old heavens with all the stars. Why should there be a new one? And evidently, the Lord has created all that stuff out there in some sense for us. And we've been eager to explore it. We finally got to the moon when I was a little kid. And we always want to explore the next thing. We want to go, go, go. And I think there's a lot of reason to suspect that the Lord created a new earth, a new heavens, because he's going to let us explore those things. And so one day, I think, the Lord will announce, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." In Song of Solomon, we see all of the great stuff. The winter is over. Imagine that being your life here on earth. It's kind of a rough winter, huh? Winter's over. Let's go exploring. The spring is here. The flowers, the singing of the birds, the turtle dove, the fig trees, the grapes. And the Lord might say, "Come on, I want to show you something. Let's go have a look around." And it might be on paradise earth. It might be on one of those other planets in the new heavens. But the Lord put in our hearts an insatiable desire to explore. And God, who is ever new, you know, he's so deep, he's so knowledgeable that we never have learned it all. He can always show us another thing. By the way, you have the same idea in chapter 4, verse 8. Look what it says there. "Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards." Let's go have a look around. And so that's what Solomon and his bride do. Remember Solomon, his name is Peace. And we know he's the King of Peace, as is our own Savior, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so one day the King, the Prince of Peace, is going to say, "Come on, let's go on an outing." And we will be everlastingly surprised at this God whose knowledge never ends, whose greatness is beyond exploration. And so that's what heaven will be great for. You know, in C.S. Lewis, he says, heaven is basically a lot like everything you ever really loved about your homeland. What you love most about living here, that evidently is going to be in heaven as well. All right, one more thing to show you at the very end of the book. This is chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. What I love about this, and it is the end, what I love about this is that it reminds us of this whole romance thing. And it reminds us of some of the things that people experienced when Jesus was here in his earthly ministry. So you remember that the people were listening to him at Nazareth, his hometown. The Bible says, and they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. They were listening to Jesus, and these words of grace were just impacting them. And they wondered, we would say they were amazed, they were awe-stricken by the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. That's what this text is like. So chapter 8, verse 13 has the bride saying, "Thou that dwellest in the gardens," heaven is paradise, gardens, "thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice." All the people who work with you, they listen to your voice. "Cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved. Be thou like a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices." I love this. This is how the book ends, with the bride hoping that the groom will come and talk. So it says, your companions who are with you right now get to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. And in that, we are talking about the Lord coming out and talking to us, probably making speeches, telling stories, maybe heavenly parables, because the Bible says, without a parable, he spoke not unto them. Maybe that's a pattern for heaven too. I don't know. But I think that there are going to be these Mary, Martha, and Jesus moments. Remember Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening? I think that there will be this cosmic announcement from time to time. The Lord is going to be having a story time in the Heavenly Public Library at 10 o'clock, if anybody'd like to come. And we'll all want to come. The Lord is going to make a speech. The Lord is going to tell us something with His unimaginable, and it is unimaginable, right? It hasn't even entered into our hearts, the things that the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. It is unimaginable. And our unimaginable Christ is going to address us from time to time. And we're probably going to be eager for those special addresses. And we'll probably say, much like this verse says, your companions hear your voice. Cause me to hear it. I want to hear. What's the Lord going to talk about today? You put all this together, and I think this is the real romance. I still remember one time when I was doing that Ocean View ministry. I was talking to a young man about the gospel. He said he really wasn't very interested in going to heaven. He said, to me, heaven would be like maybe just riding my Harley-Davidson motorcycle down the road. Just so superficial. And the idea, well, everybody's just going to be, you know, in heaven, singing. I've not really been much of a singer. They're going to be streets of gold. You know, gold's okay. I've never really been moved much by gold. Gemstones, whatever. That really doesn't move me. That really isn't the point. That has never been the point of heaven. Heaven is just a context for a relationship between God and His people. It's a wonderful context for a relationship. But the main thing is, it is a context for a relationship. So here's what I think will happen. I think there will be a banqueting house. And emotionally, we're going to be so impacted that we'll say, somebody said to me, I am sick from all of this excitement. I've made myself sick. And I think that there's going to be an outing periodically. Who wants to come? Today, we're going to have a picnic. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Who wants to come? And I think sometimes there's going to be speech making. The Lord is going to address us again. Who wants to come? And I think that's what is going to make heaven wonderful. To know that we never stop learning and exploring, our infinite God is going to keep showing us something delightful that we've never really seen before. We'll always learn and grow and explore. It'll be fantastic. Like a vacation. And it will be like love and romance. And it'll be like storytelling and speech making that is stirring and exciting. I think that's what heaven is like. And I think in a small way, Bob is experiencing that right now. And the volume is going to be turned up at the end of time when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. And that's why it's not going to hurt my feelings one bit. When the Lord says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And that'll be the rapture of the church or the taking of my individual soul. If He's ready for me to rise up and come away, then I have no argument with that. And that's why I think heaven is grand. The sooner the better.